We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ball in his hands, in the paint, floater, short, got it back, ties it with three. Gonzaga has time to do something. Sox for the win. Oh, oh yes, unbelievable.
R.J. Hunter for three. Goal! Ron Hunter has fallen off his stool for good reason. Georgia State up by one.
The clock's going to run out. The ultimate upset has happened. A 16 has beaten a one. UMBC knocks off Virginia.
3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
To lob, and that will do it.
Do you believe it? For just the second time ever, a 16 beats a one.
Arkansas gets it in. They get it to block. The clock ticks. The Princeton Tigers, it's never been sweeter if you're a Princeton fan than right now.
Gets it in, fourth the arrow, puts it up,
and it's over. Kansas State came out of nowhere this season, and now it's on to the Sweet 16.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
If there's anything Troy Aikman taught me, it's that 33% isn't all that bad. I was really nervous this weekend that we were going to have to come in here on Monday and just have three straight funerals. Thank you, Kansas State Wildcats. Thank you, Marquise Noel, for not letting that happen. March Madness continues on here on your home for March Madness. Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Joshua Briscoe, across the glass from Beards McFly here in the zone. Jason Anderson will be back later this week, but in the meantime, it's me and Beards here to talk some ball. And am I even going to open with the fact that I'm in first place right now amongst the VIPs in the 810 Bracket Challenge? No, I'm not. Am I going to open with the fact that Beards is tied for first in our 810 Internal Bracket Challenge?
Am I?
You are.
Woo!
You did lose Purdue.
I did. Oh, boy.
What? Beards reminded me, when did Purdue lose? I can't remember. I've got a fairly good idea.
They lost on, was that Friday night?
They lost early. They lost as early as you can lose, and the basketball, that's true. You know what? They didn't lose as early. They lost as early of a round as you can lose in, and that's not the same thing as being the first one to fall to a 16. And they're not Virginia, so it won't stick quite as much. But, man, Virginia, Purdue, and Arizona really did their part in just carrying on their own reputations.
You don't want to be the first. You can be the second one.
The second one? Fine.
Nobody will remember the second loser.
If Fairleigh Dickinson could have won one, if they would have just had a little better showing last night against FAU, then maybe we have a whole other Cinderella thing. Purdue's got to live through all those highlights again, but now they can wait until one shining moment. And in the meantime, we have our Sweet 16. And I told you on Friday, I thought there was a really nice chance that we were going to be here on Monday talking about three local teams in the Sweet 16. Oops. Now, look, I don't feel terrible about being punished for my optimism, and we will bury KU and Mizzou in their seasons at some point. I really do want to spend at least the top of the show with Kansas State because they did earn that in handling their business and really just getting just a quintessential March Madness game out of Marquise Noel. I'll let you hear from Jerome Tang on Noel in a little bit and all of that, but it's not just getting big shots from a guy like Masood, but to have the alpha dog, or in this case, I suppose, the alpha cat, on the floor when the other team has Oscar Tshiebwe, right? This is not, I don't just mean K-State's alpha dog. I mean the guy who took over in the back half of that game. is not very tall. He's not very big. Somebody tweeted out one of the, you know, got that dog in him memes, an x-ray with the dog, you know, showing up in the x-ray, except for it was a little chihuahua. Thought that was pretty funny. So Marquise Noel has that dog in him. And man, what a beautiful, again, quintessential March Madness experience where you have a good team performance. This was not Noel being the only guy worth anything on the floor. Please don't hear me, you know, speak down on the fact that four of K-State's starting lineup all hit double digits. And Carter, you know, played less than 20. And all the guys who spent not even quite 30 minutes on the floor, because Sills had 12 in 29. Everybody who approached 30 minutes of playing time hit double digits and did much more beyond that. But for Kansas State to start where they began before this season and to have arrived at that place against Kentucky yesterday, nothing is guaranteed, obviously. You can't feel like in a Sweet 16 you're getting a great draw against anybody, specifically teams with some pedigree. Mizzou showed you the, I think, the folly of going, oh, we got a lower seed, this will be fine. I'm not saying Kansas State wouldn't be right to be plenty afraid of Tom Izzo and Michigan State coming up later this week. But if they get past Michigan State, K-State's next step is to either get past Tennessee or Florida Atlantic. They are the highest seeded team in their own region at this point. That was true the second Marquette went down. Marquette and Michigan State, both really good basketball teams. Again, I'm not here to try to argue that the seed line matters in the Sweet 16. At this point, I don't think it does very much. Maybe I will talk myself out of that for the sake of Princeton, because it just doesn't seem like they have quite the talent, and yet you would not have known that if you only watched them against Mizzou. But K-State has every single thing you could possibly ask for. A viable, no major upsets needed path to the Final Four, already with a Sweet 16 berth in their pocket. A truly remarkable, remarkable turnaround for that program, for Jerome Tang, and a perfect inciting moment of all of that coming together on a national stage for Tang, for the program, and for Marquise Noel to be the guy that you can rely on to take over in a moment like that. Again, we'll do the look back on what went wrong for KU and Mizzou. I think in some cases it's kind of simple. In other cases, it's deeply frustrating if you're a KU or a Mizzou fan, and I understand that. But I want to hear from Jerome Tang, because there are a few things from his presser yesterday that I just think really resonate with what he's been building. And there was something a little funny. I won't say corny because I didn't think it was. But there's something a little funny about beating Kansas and getting on the scorer's table with the microphone, not taking your shirt off like Eric Musselman. That's not the same deal. But something kind of funny about Jerome Tang with the microphone saying, this is what you can do. This is what you can accomplish with the power of love. This is, hey, expect this from us. Stop chanting bleep KU. Start chanting KSU. There is something not even ha-ha funny about it, but out of character for what typically comes through in college sports. Because a lot of times that venom is part of the lifeblood. It's one of the reasons that sometimes talking about college sports isn't my favorite, because I don't need your venom. I'm not coaching or playing for any of these teams, and I went to a school in Olathe. But sometimes that venom becomes kind of the engine for so much of collegiate rivalries. And Jerome Tang comes swaggering in, just trying to give out hugs, literally, in a clip that I'm actually not trying to throw to yet. Sorry, Beards. I know. I mentioned hugs by accident. I don't want to go to the hug audio yet, a real thing that we have today from Jerome Tang. But I want to just take you almost chronologically here. I want to go back to the start for Jerome Tang. He was asked about this. I think it might have been the first question he took last night. About if he thought this was possible when he took this job. With not just uncertainty about where the program had been and where it was going, but who was on the roster in that moment. And Jerome Tang answered that question last night. Did he think, in those moments of uncertainty, did he really think that going on a run like this, a Sweet 16 berth in his first year at the helm in Manhattan, did he think that was possible?
I thought that we could be an NCAA tournament team. That was my goal. Keese and I went out to lunch one day, and I just told him, I said, Keese, I'm going to do everything in my power to put a team together that'll get him a chance to get to the NCAA tournament. And he told me, he said, Coach, I don't care if we have five dudes, right? We're going to the tournament because Kimball Walker won a national championship with, I think it was like three freshmen and two sophomores, whatever it was. But he knew, right? And I was like, man, with that kind of confidence, it inspired me to work harder and our staff to work harder. And so he always believed it, and he helped me believe.
Two things from that leapt out to me. Maybe three. One is that Tang admits there, at least implicitly, he wasn't even thinking about, yeah, we're going to win a couple tournament games, get to that second weekend. Let's get to the tournament. I think that was largely probably true for Dennis Gates as well. Mizzou won a game. We are not going to be out here bleeping on the turnaround for them either, but K-State gets one more win, at least one more win, and so here we are first. But it's also a great Marquise Noel story. Just a snapshot of what was in his head at that moment when they were building not from zero, but from two. I mean, this was a total, total rebuild. And you had a head coach who just got here, wants to do right by not just the players and the limited number of them, but by the fan base that wants to see some growth, right? He also wants to do right by himself, to be a head coach who has been able to take some real meaningful steps in the first year. And again, if you got some truth serum into some K-State fans at the beginning of this basketball season, real steps, especially whenever we got to the point of realizing exactly how bleeping good the Big 12 was. Tournament ups and downs notwithstanding. I still stand by that wholeheartedly. Just real positive steps would have felt like something. Like a good something. Real progress. But also, what an interesting snapshot of how the right player and the right coach can feed off each other. With that energy, where is this team without that lunch conversation? I don't know that it changed how K-State was going to try to rebuild the roster or whatever. But to get a moment like that in college sports, where you have a first-time head coach taking the helm of this program and going to a player, in my understanding, just from that little bit of context, that little clip, going to him to basically be like, hey, man, like, work with me here. We're going to try to make something happen as soon as possible, but what do you think? How are we going to do this? To where they were able to fuel each other when I just don't think anybody believed this was, I don't want to say possible, but realistic. Did you think this was possible? Sure. Fine. Yeah, what isn't? We've seen two 16 seeds beat ones in the last handful of years. Anything's possible. Did you think this was realistic? No, nobody did. I don't know if either of them thought it was realistic before that conversation, but you find the energy givers amongst yourself, the confidence, the inspiration, and it starts the ball rolling. And none of this happens overnight, right? Like, even that might sound corny if you're driving around as an upset Mizzou or KU fan right now, and I wouldn't begrudge you. But some of that stuff can be kind of, you know, kind of storybook in a way that you go, all right, how? I'm kind of a cynic about that stuff. So maybe you're also a cynic about it. But ultimately, if you have the spark back then that sets you on your course, that is something special. And that's something K-State has. There's a lot of moving parts around here. Everybody is about bench rotations, you know, so now Drake's standing over here. Drake, could you click something and hit a space bar for me? I don't know exactly what the rotation of everything is, but I want to hear the hug story. That one exactly, Drake, because this is another just like vibe check-in for K-State athletics right now. The hottest commodity in the sport, apparently, is a hug from athletics director Gene Taylor. I left the question in here so you can hear the exact setup and Jerome Tang's exact question, because I think it is just a hilarious snapshot into even more of this truly unique energy that K-State sports seem to have right now.
Coach, after the game, you and Gene Taylor embraced in a pretty large hug. To be able to do this in your first year, go to the Sweet 16 in your first year as a head coach, emotionally, what's it like to share it with someone who brought you here and took a chance on you after so many years of trying to become a head coach?
And that was really cool. I watched Gene and Coach Kleiman hug after a win. I was watching on TV, and they had like this hug, and you could tell like there was this love and appreciation for each other with the hug. And I was like, man, I'm gonna get a hug like that. I'm gonna get a hug like that because I absolutely love him, and I can't tell you like how much I appreciated like him taking a chance on me, you know. And words can't express it, man. But I wanted one of those hugs, and I'm thankful that I get to live life with this man.
Just unendingly good vibes in K-State athletics. But again, even if your cynicism, like mine can often seep in, even if your cynicism is, all right, I mean, yeah, they won. You win a Sweet 16 game, you're going to want to hug the AD. But Jerome Tang had a very specific memory of Chris Kleiman sharing one of those hugs with Gene Taylor. And I think that's the part. It has somewhat been true for Dennis Gates, but again, we're talking about K-State because to the winner goes the spoils. There is a not even like new age, new twist on what it means to be a head coach of a college athletics program. But Jerome Tang just has kind of a different energy to him. This whole program does now, while still having an assassin like Noel take that game over. Like having completely unafraid shooters, like Masood, waiting for that moment, bang. Which also plays into where Jerome Tang goes with his credit. He was asked about hanging with Oscar Tshiebwe and all the talent that Kentucky has and what it took to make that happen. And Jerome Tang was passing the credit along to, well, the dudes.
Dudes. We got dudes. And that's what it takes. Like, this is, I mean, people get all caught up in the coaching and all that stuff. It's dudes. You got to have players. And these dudes, they work, right? They've put in the time. We talked about it before this game, right? We're going to trust our work. And we've won really good games against other really good teams in really tough environments before. So we were prepared for this. And I expected them to play great. And I every time they shot it, I thought it was going in. And so it's just they believe in themselves, but they don't just do it. It's not fake confidence, right? It's the work that they put in, the hours they spend in the gym, and all of them, you know. And I knew Ish was going to make that shot because he wants to go to New York.
Here's the other thing is I bounce back and forth. I was talking to Beards about this as I was cutting the sound this morning. So I'm like, that is filled with coaching cliches and things I haven't really heard in those terms before. That dichotomy is fascinating to me. I'll mention it one more time, so all the non-K-State fans in the area will know. I'm kind of a cynic about some of the power of belief and all of that. There's elements to it. But when you have coaches and players talking about knowing their shot's going to go in, visualizing the success, all of those things, just believing, you can't be hoping that the shot goes. You got to believe when every single time that you line that shot up that it is going through. I don't always have a great way of trying to make that something more concrete than just like believe in yourself and good vibes. But I think Jerome Tang puts it into the context there. It's not fake confidence. And it's not confidence just for the sake of believing in something. It is the direct result of the preparation and being in moments like that before. Now look, when they tip off against Michigan State, they're not going to have heaps of Sweet 16 experience and performances to hang their hat on. But they will have taken plenty of threes from that spot. Noel will know what it's like to feel a game on his shoulders and to be comfortable with that sensation. It'll be on a new platform and there will be even more energy to it. But to be able to execute that within your own control, I do think is a real and kind of awesome thing. And at this point, I think to be a cynic or a skeptic about the all love, good vibes, energy around Jerome Tang and K-State basketball, I think to be a doubter of that at this point is to be foolish. It's different. It is truly unique. And you're seeing some other examples of that around college basketball, college sports in general, and all of that. But to see it executed the way K-State has at this point, in a season that was so deeply unexpected on a level like this, is just a truly remarkable thing. So K-State advances to the Sweet 16, and at this point, why would I pick against them? Tom Izzo in March is a terrifying beast. I get it. This entire tournament is a terrifying beast. Having the 2-1 seeds fall as early on as they did, obviously Purdue really taking the cake. At different points, I think I can't remember how close it ended up getting for Houston. I think maybe both of their first two round games. But you see the upsets across the board because this sport is totally packed with parity at this point. The difference between a 3 seed and a 14 or a 15 seed just isn't that overwhelming anymore. From a talent perspective, from a coaching perspective, I mean, Having the 3-point line be a major part of the sport means you can have some of those underdogs rain threes performances. Now, that's not what happened to Missouri necessarily, which probably makes that a little tougher to swallow. We'll get more into Mizzou and KU coming up here in a second. There's nothing guaranteed to K-State at this point. They know that, obviously. Nothing was guaranteed to them up through this point. They all knew that, obviously. But if you're proudly wearing purple today, you look at Michigan State and the winner of FAU-Tennessee as being the two teams standing in your way right now to a Final Four. At that point, who bleeping knows? It almost feels silly to project to FAU-Tennessee because you've got to get through Michigan State first. But a truly unfathomably good season for K-State to this point still has other gears left that are completely within the realm of possibility. Because the pictures panned out pretty darn good for them. Awesome time for K-State basketball. An awesome time to be giving out the golden hugs of Gene Taylor, I suppose. It's certainly a good time to be anything at all
in the K-State Athletics program. We'll take a break here in the zone. I'm Josh Abrisco with Beards McFly. Jason Anderson out until a little bit later this week. We will come back. We will talk about the local teams who did not hold up their end of the bargain. K-State victorious, but KU and Mizzou fall. And the only thing that I've seen make Mizzou and KU fans smile very much over the past weekend has been the fact that the other team also lost. We'll talk about those two when we come back.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
George has been waiting on hold very patiently. George, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
You were homeschooled. That explains a lot.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Two funny real quick things from the K-State conversation that have dawned on me. I mentioned, because there's the question from Nicole Arbach of The Athletic, who asked about the belief that this was possible for K-State to pull off this year, going back to when they had two players on their roster, being Noel and Masood. I think they are the only two players who actually said by name in the first segment of this show, which is hilarious, just that Keontae Johnson didn't have to be the lead story in this game. Like I mentioned, Desi Sills, I guess, but didn't have to be the guy. You got good performances out of Tomlin, Johnson, Sills. You got good performances out of a lot of guys. Masood. But Marquise Noel being the guy there. Hugely, hugely exciting for what could come next. I just went back and found the story from the Topeka Capital Journal. Going back to the crazy faith shirts of they were wearing on the bracket reveal night. You got two numerals and then 13 blank spaces that came from Noel and Masood being the two guys on the roster and then filling it out after that. And now, at the time they're wearing those shirts for the bracket reveal, now if they'd like to wear them, they could wear them for the week leading up to a Sweet 16 game. It's really incredible. Really incredible. Jason Anderson's out. Joshua Brisco here in the big chair with you. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass. Do you want to talk about KU first, Beards? Would it make you feel better if we talked about KU first?
Sure.
There's one part that I think is probably going to make this like tougher for KU fans to swallow. I'm just going to go ahead and mention this one off the top. I think Norm Roberts did a really good job of holding things together with Bill Self not coaching at any point through the tournaments, Big 12 and NCAA. He was with the team, coaching during the week, chatted with Greg Gurley, as you're able to hear here on your home for the Jayhawks, Sports Radio at 10 WHB. But I don't know how many points per game Bill Self is worth to a team above like a good replacement level coach, but it's probably more than one. Now that doesn't mean that if Bill Self coaches this game, if he's fully healthy and all of that, that KU advances. We don't know that. Lots of other butterfly effect things happen after that point. And also, it should go without saying that Bill Self going, hey, you know what? Was a couple of stints, right? I'm actually not at a place where physically I should be on a sideline jogging and screaming and coaching a basketball game at maximum blood pressure. That's okay, everybody. That's a reasonable... I am glad Bill Self made that decision, lost to Arkansas notwithstanding, or his doctors made that decision. However they came to that conclusion, that's okay. This is just Eric Musselman being Eric Musselman, but there was one point where the camera was on him as he was like gesticulating like crazy, and then he went over to to the sideline and went down to a knee, you know, like hand on his head. He's just being dramatic because that's who he is. But in that moment, I went, he's okay. And then I thought, well, imagine Bill Self being out there for that game and having that moment and wondering, are we going to see like an emergency situation here? God, I'm glad he's not coaching. So I continue to be very glad Bill Self did not try to push it there. But that part's probably going to be a little bit unsatisfying for KU fans. You wonder if you've got a healthy Bill Self on the sideline, is that game different? That's just part of it. Beard's resident KU fan.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Is it because Mizzou also lost?
I mean, that helps.
To Princeton.
That helps. I didn't have, like, the biggest faith in in KU advancing that far anyway, so, like, that's not super surprising.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's a real quick question. Do we want to talk about the referees?
Go for it. Sure.
They were not good.
No.
For both sides.
Correct.
I think I had this stat right that I myself made on Twitter. There were as many fouls called in that game as there were made field goals.
It's brutal.
That number was 45, by the way.
45 fouls called?
45 fouls, 45 made field goals.
I see. I think they may have eventually passed you up because it looks like 48 field goals here total now.
Oh, and then there's also 48 fouls. There we go.
Oh, so it was the same.
It was the same.
It was 48 to 48.
It was even worse than I thought.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's... If you have anything else to say about the referees, go for it, because you're absolutely right.
Ooh, they were bad.
There is no... And there
not
is,
the reason they lost.
No.
They were bad for both teams.
Yes, and there is nothing that sucks the air out of an arena quicker than a ref show. It just... we're going to... Quick whistles, get guys in foul trouble, just get everybody get puckered, because we are about to watch a lot of whistles. It's horrible for basketball. No one ever watches basketball and thinks, man, they should really be calling more fouls.
It was bad.
It was really rough.
Again, not the reason they lost.
Nope.
The reason they lost is because they have one guy that can get their own shot off, and he was blanketed all game.
So this is what I wanted to see how you were feeling on more than anything. Because, man, it was, you know, it was the 116. But in real time watching the game together, and then after the fact, Grady Dick being all over that game against Howard was so exciting.
Yep.
And then he just... saying he disappeared isn't fair, because disappeared makes it sound like he didn't have to be covered. He didn't need to be guarded, but he also wasn't having that time after time ability around the rim where either you're tipping it in or you're tipping it back out, where you are being the created in a lab assassin sharpshooter who can also get you a couple of boards. We've seen glimpses of that, but we haven't seen it very much consistently. And a 7-point, even with 7 rebounds, which is so silly for Grady Dick. He led the team in rebounds.
Yeah.
But you needed to find some more scoring help. And we've talked about this plenty, KU's bench this year, and you and I both being Uday truthers at least a little bit.
Yep.
This was all about the starting five. They got 5 bench points.
Including a Damian Lillard shot from Uday.
From Yesufu?
Yesufu, sorry.
Yeah, Yesufu with an absolute bomb. His only bucket of the game. Did Pettiford split a pair of layups? I'm trying to remember where his miss came.
I don't remember either.
That
sounds about
he
right.
was 1-for-2 and he had 2 points. That was the entire amount of scoring you got from your bench. And you just didn't get... You didn't get the Grady Dick moments that K-State got from Marquise Noel. Jalen Wilson, as frustrating as this is to say, with a quiet 20, that's what it feels like when almost half of your points come from the free throw line. Which, hey, he's got to get there. And if you're going to have a game where the fouls are being called, every time there's an excuse for there to be a foul called,
but also
God bless Jalen Wilson for getting there.
He was blanketed by... let me get the name right here by the K-State or by the Arkansas Jordan Walsh.
Yes,
he blanketed Wilson all game. He was great,
and that's why Jalen Wilson did not have a bad game. I have to resist the urge. Oh man, Jalen Wilson disappeared, because you're right. You demand attention. You get a good defender on you, a great defender on you, and you end up having a disappointing game. I'm guessing Jalen Wilson's at least a little disappointed with how that game went.
Sure.
But there just wasn't enough. I don't think it's all about anybody here.
Nobody else was really looking for their own shot, it felt like.
I think that's right.
You
had a moment or two of that from Dwan Harris. You
KJ
need more
Adams
of those.
Was good. He was
KJ
really
Adams
good.
Was good. Kevin McCullough defensively, and he had a smattering of moments. But that's the thing. Everyone had a smattering of moments. no one was there to take the spotlight away from Jalen Wilson in a positive way, I mean, you know, from the KU perspective. You want to demand some more of that attention. You want to find someone who can create their own shot. And I go back to Grady Dick, not because you should always be relying on a freshman to save your season, but because you know he has that ability, because you have seen that before in pockets. It's just a very disappointing way for that season to come to an end. Despite it being, I was on Sound Off last night, and one of Mick's questions for us was, what do you blame for KU and Mizzou's losses? We'll get to Mizzou on their own here next segment, too. But I think that part of what you can blame is all of the issues those two teams had all season long came through in upsetting and frustrating ways in the biggest moments. But the truest answer is that KU and Mizzou lost to college basketball in a sport that does have as much parity as it does right now. And I'm going to save my tip for Mizzou fans. I'll save it for the next segment. But KU is not outclassing Arkansas talent-wise and certainly not coaching-wise when you don't have your head coach out there. And really, I'm not here on like some sort of tirade against Norm Roberts. I think he did overall a really good job in a really tough spot. The team never lost focus. They never seemed sloppy or like they would lost their direction. You just don't have Bill Self over there. It's a tough replacement to make. I thought Chad Henne did a good job coming in for Patrick Mahomes in big moments too. It's a tough way to live. But KU lost a 1-point game to a really good team with NBA talent on it also, with a really good head coach who probably could start keeping his shirt on, but I'm going to let him live his life. I just sort of wasn't completely emotionally ready when that happened, but you know, college sports. We'll talk a lot more KU with Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here coming up in about 15 minutes. Plus, we'll talk KU and K-State and Mizzou, but certainly a Big 12 focus with Ari Timken coming up at noon. And then Mick Schaefer of KSHB 41 will be in here with us at 1 o'clock. So we're going to make sure everybody gets their share of credit and blame and concern and all of that from a wild, wild weekend of March Madness. But Mizzou, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm just not sure what to say. I'll do my best next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Never busted out a big one.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
As much as you may have wanted me to, I'm keeping my promise. Mizzou fans, I'm not skipping you today. Sorry. Here's my tip for Tigers fans having a tough time today. For Missouri Tigers fans having a tough time today. We got Wildcats v. Wildcats, Tigers v. Tigers, and Arkansas versus Kansas, by the way. If you're a Mizzou fan having a little trouble because you lost to Princeton, a 15 seed in the second round, I told you going into the weekend.
That's who you lost to.
You lost a bunch of nerds, a bunch of 15 seeded nerds. Not even the most athletic nerds. I told you on Friday that whatever happened in Mizzou-Princeton would be perfect because either Mizzou was going to get to a Sweet 16 or they're going to blow their shot at a Sweet 16 by losing to a 15 seed. Either way, it was going to be very Mizzou.
Well,
it's not what I wanted to happen. It was just always on the table. Here's what I'm offering to you, Mizzou fans. Just pretend you lost to Arizona. Just pretend you lost to Arizona. They're the 2 seed, and frankly, how different do you think the game would have gone? I just went back and pulled up the game flow chart. I always think they're kind of funny to find the little inflection points in the game. Do you know the last time Mizzou led in the game? Beards, what do you think the score was when Mizzou was leading?
2-0.
Why don't you really dip into your football predictions for me?
They were up like 20 in the second half. Is that when it was?
Beards, Mizzou led it with a score of 3-2. I'm at your football predictions. And they never let it get after
really
that.
Not my really accurate ones?
No, your most accurate ones.
I missed the joke on
that's
that
okay.
one. That was my bad.
That's all right. Mizzou missed a lot of shots and opportunities. And none of this was terribly out of character. It's not like Mizzou lost because they just had, you know, some meltdown you couldn't have possibly seen coming. It was all pretty true to form of the lows of Mizzou's season being offset by the highs. You get past Utah State, you're on the highs, and then you all of a sudden you lose to Princeton. There's nothing shocking there because that's just the flow of how your season goes sometimes. Whatever, fine. The reason I say just pretend you lost to Arizona is because I think it probably would have looked about the same way. You got outshot. You got out-rebounded. You had a lead at 3-2, and then the rest of the game you were playing from behind. Got close-ish about halfway through the second half. Maybe you think you're building up a little bit of something. And it was just kind of arm's length, which wouldn't be as frustrating if you went, man, we lost to a team that was expected to be here, could go on and be a national championship contender, et cetera, et cetera. I think you'd probably sleep a little better at night. Lose by 15 to Arizona, no biggie. Losing by 15 to Princeton's probably going to sting for a little bit. It, in no way whatsoever, invalidates the fact this is the best basketball season you've had in a really long time. And that tournament win over Utah State is a real thing. It's not like you were the 2 seed that got bounced by 15 in the first round. Missouri has nothing to hang their head over from this season. But like I said, going into the Utah State game, if they would have lost that, it would just be a little bit of a sour taste and then you're home free. I didn't expect Princeton to beat Arizona. And so losing to the 15, yeah, it puts a little bit of a sour taste back in your mouth for a season that's been really, really sweet. KU fell a little short of expectations, but it was a big overhaul year. Mizzou and K-State weren't supposed to be here. The difference is K-State's still going. Matt Tate, next.